WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Live from the campus of Illinois State University, this is the Red Zone. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful night here at ISU. I'm Anthony Freddy. I'm joined alongside my co-host Joey Dwyer and Red Zone producer Leo Stauder. And it's amazing. We've made it to another Thursday, and the semester's quickly winding down.
Yeah, it's November, boys. Like, I don't know if we've realized that quite yet because, you know, by now we should be in full swing of hockey season and basketball season as well as football. But oh my goodness. Like, it is November. You boys can see I'm rocking my new Dylan Strome away Hawks jersey. It's some pretty good threads. I'm waiting for the Hawks to come back, but it feels a little empty. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like we were planning the show last night, and there's just not a whole lot going on in the sports world right now.
Yeah, it really feels like the sports world as we know it isn't really happening, but the one inevitability in life is now I'm getting all of the stuff about my final projects I have due and all that. I guess those couldn't take a fall off, so I still have that to worry about.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've got my big 16-page research project I got to do by the beginning of December, so that's going to kill me, and I got a paper due Sunday. But you know what? You want to know what I'm doing tonight? I am going to enjoy some very legal beverages because I'm 22 years old, and I'm going to watch Thursday Night Football, and I'm going to watch the Packers get beat, and it's going to be a great night. And like we said, when we're planning the show, that's a future Joey problem. Those papers are a future Joey problem. Tonight, Joey needs to decompress after a long day.
For sure. As you mentioned, Packers and Niners are going to play on Thursday Night Football. They're not going to be playing around, and neither is WZND. Winning a Nintendo Switch on WZND this fall is so easy, it's basically cheating. That's right. Starting today, WZND's Cheat Code Challenge is here to cure your digital days by giving you a chance to win a Nintendo Switch and other cool prizes. Every day this week, we'll be revealing a secret code word on air. Once you hear the secret code word, head to WZND's Twitter or Instagram at WZND and send a message to our account with that special word. All participants will be entered into a drawing for a Nintendo Switch and more prizes. The winner of the Nintendo Switch will be announced on Wednesday, November 11th. So be sure to send your cheat code to WZND's social media to enter yourself in the biggest switch-up of the year. And today's secret code word is Sonic. That is S-O-N-I-C, Sonic. So go to WZND's Twitter or Instagram at WZND and message us with that code right now to be entered in our drawing.
That was a seamless transition. I just want to say, I had no idea. I had no idea we were doing a live read tonight, and you just flipped on the switch. I was like, whoa.
Alrighty, well, without further ado, let's get started with the show. As we mentioned, we had some professional football going on, but starting a little bit with college football, a lot has happened in the college football world this season. We've seen the Big Ten start up a couple weeks ago. Big story is Trevor Lawrence, obviously out. He tested positive for COVID, so he's going to be out against Boston College. But the big thing this weekend is the Pac-12 is going to come back, and they're going to play 7 games this season. But it's already coming with its problems. The Cal versus Washington game is canceled as one of the Cal players apparently tested positive for COVID, and several players are going to be needed for contact tracing. So right off the bat, they're affected.
And that's been kind of the theme throughout all these conferences throughout the year. Obviously, the Big Ten, as you mentioned, there have been some huge problems there, especially with Wisconsin. Their season is on the line right now because they've had a bunch of players test positive. The Pac-12 just starting up. But yeah, a lot of these colleges don't quite have the resources that the NFL have to keep their players safe. And obviously, we've seen outbreaks on college campuses all year, not even with football. Just at ISU, we had a huge outbreak earlier in the semester. So these conferences are struggling to keep their players safe. But it's nice to be able to watch some college football. The MAC came back last night.
Yeah, we got some action.
We got some action. Those games were delightfully awful to watch. So I'm excited to have any sports going on right now. So hopefully they can stay safe and keep the train rolling a little bit, give us at least a pseudo-regular college football season.
And it does feel fun. I mean, we have one great game, hopefully, to look forward to this weekend, is this Clemson-Notre Dame game. Two teams in the top five playing. This should feel somewhat regular, even though the best player in college football in Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be playing. It really seemed like last week Clemson didn't even miss a beat without him with their true freshman. I'm going to nail this name. I got it for you guys.
You got it. Come on, hit us.
DJ Oanagole, the quarterback from California, had a great game last week for the Tigers. And honestly, I've seen a lot of Notre Dame fans on like my social media that are acting like this is great that Lawrence is out. I think you might even have to worry about this new kid coming in, because it just seems like Clemson, it's not even a problem for them. They lose Deshaun Watson, they can replace him with Trevor Lawrence, and now they already have the heir to the throne in Oanagale prepared.
And I believe also Travis Etienne, I think, is still on their team, and he's just been lights out in the backfield for them as well. So obviously Notre Dame fans have some hope, given that arguably one of the best quarterbacks in college football isn't going to play, but it's Clemson. They, as you mentioned, Leo, they've got a true freshman quarterback that's going to show up and take advantage of every opportunity. So it's going to be a challenge for Notre Dame.
It absolutely will be, and pardon me, Travis Etienne also is just an animal for Clemson in that backfield, so it's going to be tough for the Fighting Irish to do anything, and it is weird, and to shift a little bit, it's weird because I grew up as a Notre Dame fan. Like, my grandpa and a bunch of people on my dad's side of the family went to Notre Dame, so we watched Notre Dame football as a kid. So it's weird to see them conference affiliated technically in the ACC this year. That's kind of throwing me for a little bit of a loop. Like, researching this game, I was like, huh.
I think part of what's made it okay to watch for me is that I've seen it in other sports where they're in a conference. Like, their hockey team plays in the Big Ten. That was weird at first, but I've gotten used to it. Their volleyball and basketball teams are already in the ACC. Their track and field team's in the ACC. So seeing them already compete with these other ACC teams, and they are kind of already teams they have a little bit of a rivalry with like Miami, Boston College, Florida State. These are teams they kind of already played regularly, so it feels like if there is going to be a conference that's the right fit for them, that the ACC would be the way to go.
Exactly. The only rivalry you're missing is USC. So that's pretty fair.
Yeah, and you look just at the history of Notre Dame, the way they've been able to go. Lou Holtz leading them to a national championship. It's a historic team to play for, and I think maybe the gold on the helmet's probably giving them some good luck. The luck of the Irish, as they would say.
And I feel like they're one of those programs where, like we talked about a little bit, that with the Big Ten a couple weeks ago, or was that our last week? My memory is fading me, but how there are just teams that are just that tier below true championship contention. And I feel like Notre Dame's one of those teams, too, where they're going to get you 10 wins normally in a regular season, but then they come just short. But this could be the year, in the strange year, that, because we've seen it before, where a team like LSU could just put all the pieces together and beat those traditional powers like Clemson and Alabama and Oklahoma. So if this could be the year for Notre Dame, maybe. But I really feel like with this game, this probably won't be the last time they'd have to face Clemson now with the ACC. You kind of have to be careful what you wish for, because say things go right and they beat Clemson this Saturday, they might have to face them again in 2 weeks with Trevor Lawrence, which then they could potentially face two different Clemson teams, really, because these are two different quarterbacks you have to deal with. And Dabo Swinney's a good coach, so he could design his team around that, where you're just going to be guessing as to what kind of packages they're going to be running on offense.
And you take a look at them. This isn't obviously the first time they've matched up. We've seen it a couple years ago when Notre Dame, you were mentioning, trying to get to that championship level. They made it into the college football playoff as one of the final four teams, but then just got demolished by Clemson. And in that game, it was Ian Book against Trevor Lawrence. So Book's still going to play, obviously not Lawrence, but Clemson obviously showing no signs. They're still going to have Travis Etienne, but Notre Dame could give them a run for their money. It should be an interesting game, and I guess it's nice to see Notre Dame back in a conference, because for so long they've just been independent. They, you know, when you look at that kind of team, you think like, oh, Notre Dame, ACC, or Big Ten in their hockey case, but you would think you associate them with a conference. Like, it's weird they didn't play in a conference, because then the football committee's like, well, look, we could put you in the playoff, but you didn't really have a conference schedule.
Yeah, and the big knock about Notre Dame has always been, since they don't play in a conference, they've always just played garbage teams. And so they're always going to be like 11-1 and just have an awful schedule. So, you know, it is nice to see them in the ACC. And I think conferences do bring a nice structure to football, especially in a year like this. And speaking of conferences, going back to the Pac-12, USC and Arizona State playing, they're kicking off the whole Pac-12 schedule. That's going to be an awesome game. I love watching a little West Coast football action.
The Pac-12 after dark game is like the best thing you can have on Saturday. Just having a Pac-12 game starting at like 9 o'clock Central Time, that is just so awesome. Like you do homework, you do whatever all day on a Saturday, then you still have that game to look forward to all night. That's just always one of the best feelings, and I've been missing turning that on. We've had BYU a couple times playing a really late game, but now that we're going to have some late night college football, it does make things feel a little more normal.
It brings the college football Saturday back to all day. Like, you're going to start at 11 a.m. and you're going to be done watching at midnight, and you can just turn on the TV and watch all day long, which is the best part about college football.
Oh, yeah. You just put the channel on and just let it ride out all day on Saturday.
And there's always, if you're watching a garbage game, there's always a better game on somewhere. You just got to find it. Even if it's like some little FCS matchup, there's still going to be a good game, and all you got to do is look for it.
Yeah, it's not like in the NFL where there's, if no teams were on a bye, there'd be 16 games going on, or maybe less than that because of the primetime games, but nonetheless, you'd see in the college football landscape, there'd be hundreds of teams playing, so it's, as you mentioned, there might be one garbage game you're watching, or let's say Alabama's like blowing some team out of the water, you could turn on another one and see if it's highly contested. But I think one interesting thing to bring up is the amount of discrepancy they're going to have in these games. They were saying that when USC and Arizona State, when they're going to kick off, BYU is already going to have played 8 games. And the Pac-12, those teams are just going to aim for 7 games. So I guess when it comes to trying to figure out the college football rankings and who's going to be in the playoffs, how are they going to decide that? Because it's not like everyone's got the same record.
Right, and it's going to be weird, too, because then come playoff time, you're going to have some teams that just finished their season and then other teams that haven't played for a few weeks. So you're going to have teams that are in different points of their training and different, and obviously then with injuries, too. Other teams will have time to heal up, watch film, and prepare, while other teams are kind of rushed into bowl season. It's going to be kind of a different problem than we're used to.
I think the whole fix to that is just put Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then whoever they want the fourth one to be, just to do it now so we actually get the playoff. We don't risk it, because we know those three will be in it for sure. If you want to throw another Big Ten team in, maybe, if there's a Big Ten, if you want to throw a little Pac-12 action in there, or some Big 12 maybe, throw a team in there. And then just call it, because the last thing I want to happen is that we play 4 more weeks of college football and then there's no college football playoff.
Yeah, that kind of would be a bummer. It's always awesome just looking forward to it after the turn of the calendar. You're used to just getting those games and watching them. It's just awesome on New Year's Day seeing those games. You still got college football going on. Well, that will just about do it for our college football coverage, but we're not done with our football coverage, as this whole show is going to take place on the gridiron. When we come back, we're going to shift to professional football action. You're listening to The Red Zone on the Pulse of Red River Nation.
Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to The Red Zone, baby. Only
gotta love it. Dickie V bringing us back. You heard the man. The Red Zone, baby.
Baby, it's The Red Zone.
Oh, boy.
What a great bump.
Great bump bringing us back. And we, as we mentioned, talked about some college football, but some big news happening in the NFL. The Bears took on the Saints last week, lost a thriller in overtime, but the biggest thing coming out of that game was Javon Wims getting suspended for punching C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the helmet. He, like, pulled his mouth guard out of his mouth and then just nonchalantly just punched him right in the head where the helmet was, and it was just an all-out brawl after that.
And I'm so glad we're talking about this, because we've seen so much come out about what he was responding to, because, you know, nobody's going to go up to somebody and just punch him unprovoked. Apparently there was a mixture of Javon Wims claimed that Gardner Johnson had spit in his face, and then there was actual video of Gardner Johnson putting his hands in the face mask of Anthony Miller on the play before. C.J. Gardner Johnson, also very infamous for being the teammate that Michael Thomas, the Saints receiver, beat up in training camp. So obviously this dude is not does not uphold the pillars of sportsmanship. But Javon Wims did get the two games. Gardner Johnson didn't get any repercussions for his role. But I think that just is kind of a chasm of the Bears' season. It's just been kind of, you know, they
weird stuff happens.
Thank you. I can't even form the words, because it's just the way the Bears season has been going this year is just so bizarre.
It's like 2020, just you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Oh, my God. And then Mitchell Trubisky, on the one snap that he got against the Saints, the one snap, hurt his shoulder and is now in Los Angeles seeing his, like, special doctor about his shoulder, because it's the same one he hurt in 2018. So there goes all of our chances of seeing Mitch back, because that's, at least my roommate and I, when we were watching the Saints game, that's all we could hope for, is because Nick Foles is just terrible.
Yeah, and the thing about this Saints game was it was such an ugly game. The Bears played really poorly. It was just so frustrating to watch. But then they still did just good enough to get it to overtime and to keep me invested to think that maybe they still had a chance. And that's just my problem with this team, is that they're just good enough to get your hopes up, and then they're going to crush them right in front of you. It's just so frustrating, but I'm still going to watch every week.
Yeah.
And looking ahead to the Bears matchup against the Titans, which will be another test for sure. The Bears are going to have one starting O-lineman this week in Charles Leno Jr., because Bobby Massey is hurt, Cody Whitehair is hurt and has COVID, James Daniels is hurt, and they have backups of backups too, so like Jason Spriggs has COVID, Jermaine Effetti has COVID, so they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of guys they're going to trot out there to protect Nick Foles. Luckily, the Titans' defense has been kind of lackluster this year. That's definitely been their weak spot, especially that front seven. But if you're going against a bunch of scrubs and practice squad guys, I'm sure it's going to be easy, even if you're the worst defensive lineman in the NFL.
And this is what's really troubling about the Bears, is we kind of knew preseason already that the offensive line was going to be an issue. And then we've seen, like, some pretty solid players have gotten cut throughout the year, and the Bears haven't taken any flyers on them, that they've just been rolling with their guys all season. And now when the pieces are starting to fall apart, they have no real options on the offensive line. So it's almost like it doesn't matter who's at quarterback back there, whether it's Trubisky or Foles or even Tyler Bray, because they're not going to be able to stay upright long enough with this offensive line to throw the ball for any completion.
And I saw this tweet, somebody just making fun of Ryan Pace. He's like, since Ryan Pace has been, or like since 2016, the Bears have not taken a single offensive lineman in the first round of a draft, or like since 2015, the last lineman that we took with a high round pick was Kyle Long, who is now retired. And so this tweet was saying, he was like, it would have been nice to have guys who had been in the system in situations like this where our offensive line wouldn't be able to stay healthy. And that's been the Bears' Achilles heel for as long as I've been a fan of them. This is just not going to be a pretty game. Regardless of whether the Bears win or lose, it's not going to be pretty.
And there's been no consistency with the offensive line either. They've had three different O-line coaches in the past 3 years, so nobody's building any familiarity. There's not much development because obviously every coach is going to bring their different nuances and ideas. So once players get used to one coach, he's out the door, and they have to relearn again with another one.
Yeah, and the Bears aren't the only team with this problem. I believe the Cowboys as well, they're trying to shuffle through offensive linemen, and that's kind of like a key thing. You really want to try and get a solid five going that can build that chemistry together and protect the quarterback. And this may sound crazy, but what about Drew Himmelman from ISU? Maybe we'll see him in a Bears uniform.
I mean, they need somebody now. And like Leo said, there have been a bunch of guys on the waiver wire who the Bears have just completely picked up. They just they're in talks with a lineman, Eric Cush, who they had a couple years back, and then he left the team. They're trying to bring him back onto the roster. But that one signing is not going to fix their troubles, and David Montgomery is not going to be able to run. Nick Foles is not going to have time to pass back there. And so this is going to be another game where the defense is going to be expected to do a lot of the winning.
And we've been saying that all season, where they're going to give it their all, but then by the fourth quarter, they're just going to get exhausted again. And part of the problem with the defense is they've just been they're the most penalized defense in the NFL. And that, when you're relying so much on your defense, it's almost like you can't let them make any mistakes. And when that does happen, and it's the veteran guys like Hicks and Fuller that have been taking lots of these penalties, and that's just almost like some rookie mistakes you can't afford for these guys to make.
Yeah, and it's really going to be a tough test for them, just given the way Ryan Tannehill has performed. And then Derrick Henry as well. He has just been a monster. He's got 161 carries for 775 yards and 8 scores this season. He has been able to just wreck defenses left and right. You saw in that one Tuesday night game against Buffalo, just shoved the Bills defender to the ground. So someone like Khalil Mack they've got to be able to step up and like bring him down and kind of show him who's boss early.
And that's going to be a definite challenge for the Bears defense. And they've had Roquan Smith, their second or third year linebacker out of Georgia. He has been an absolute nightmare for offenses because he's so fast and he's such a good tackler. He's like fifth in the league in tackles right now. And he has been an integral part of that defense being as good as it is. And he is going to be a key factor in stopping this run, because you can stack the front four, but you can only do so much if Derrick Henry bumps it out wide or breaks a tackle on the first layer. You have to be able, as the linebacker, to crash onto that run and stop him before he gets momentum, because if you let Derrick Henry out into the third layer of the defense, he's gone. Like, you're not going to be able to tackle him one-on-one if you're a cornerback. So it's going to be stopping Derrick Henry. You have to stop him before the line of scrimmage, and that comes on your front seven, who luckily the Bears have a very good front seven, but they're going to need to be pounding it all night and force the Titans to throw the ball, where they're maybe not as strong offensively.
And part of the problem, obviously the front seven has been very strong, but we've seen kind of the past couple weeks that they have gotten a little bit exposed with the run defense. Part of that problem, I think, comes down to they're playing without Eddie Goldman this season, who was an integral part in the run defense, their nose tackle, and that's just kind of the way it is with the defense. You take one of those key pieces out, the defense, just you need everybody to kind of do their role. So now they're doing the nose tackle by committee, and that's been part of the problem, I think, in the run defense.
And Bilal Nichols is a very serviceable nose tackle. He's who's been taking the load of the work for the Bears this year. But you're absolutely right. Eddie Goldman was a huge loss, and he opted out of the season due to COVID concerns, and that has hurt the Bears a lot in that front seven. And we're seeing that as teams have kind of exploited the holes between the tackles so they can run, because you're not going to be able to run outside against Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, but if you can isolate Akeem Hicks with a double team block on the inside, then you can run to that opposite side, and there's usually a hole there, and running backs have been able to get 4 to 6 yards consistently on the Bears.
And I mean, you're looking at them, it's going to be a big challenge. People have been saying, I think one of the guests we had on, like, this is going to be a crucial game for them, because we had the Rams and the Saints and the Titans, like, this is a big crucial three games for us. And then we get into our division schedule, which has just been weird, because we're not playing the Packers till like week 11, and we've only played one opponent, and it was the Lions to open the season. Like, other teams have, like, you're going to see in pick six, Tom Brady and Drew Brees, they're going to face each other already for the second time. We haven't even faced the Packers once this season.
Exactly, and that's a big test, too, because these Packers have looked good but inconsistent, and that's going to be a huge test, because obviously the Bears and the Packers are at the top of the division right now, and so we need to rack up those divisional wins, and so we need some momentum going into those, so a win against the Titans here would be huge.
And I feel like this is probably one of the most important games of the season, because you're on the risk, the Bears are on the risk of losing three straight games, and they're going to have three straight divisional games following this, and two of them are first-time matchups with divisional opponents, so I feel like we don't really have a firm understanding of where the Bears stand in the division, because we've only seen them play the Lions, and that was week one. Obviously, this is a much different team since then. So this is going to be a big game in terms of the Bears' identity, if they could reestablish themselves and kind of get some of that swagger back they had earlier in the season, because they've looked like a broken team at times as of late.
And my big answer to that would be put in Mitch, but that's not possible anymore, because Matt Nagy wanted Mitch to be Taysom Hill when he's just not.
Yeah, for that one play.
Might not have a functioning shoulder, so
yeah,
that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when they brought him in for a play. I'm like, they're running the Saints play against them.
God, that's the most annoying thing that Matt Nagy does. He did it against the Rams with all the pre-snap motion. He did it against the Saints. He looks at the coach that they're playing, and he's like, what can I steal from this offense and to show this defense who practices against this offense every single day? And like, you're not going to beat him by running the plays that they see every day in practice. That's not going to happen.
That's what we were kind of talking about last week, where Nagy just feels like has gotten away from his own identity, too, where he's just kind of, it feels like ever since the Eagles game they lost in the playoffs, that he's just been a defeated man, where he kind of lost that creativity and that has resorted back to just imitating other people rather than establishing his own culture.
What happened to the BU, Matt Nagy?
He's
right
gone.
when he had BU on his play sheet, what happened? You're not you, Matt Nagy. You're a shell of what you used to be.
Oh boy!
And I know he's
someone else.
I know he's listening right now, and I know that cut him deep. I know he's going to reconsider some things now.
Yeah, does BU, as you mentioned, when it was their first season with him, BU, they were doing really well. We thought they were going to make a deep run in the playoffs. Didn't end how we wanted it to. We'll just leave it at that. But if he can kind of change things to kind of be himself, and as you guys were talking about last week, just letting him kind of take a load off and just not be the play caller for a couple of games to kind of see how it's going to change, because now it's getting to the point where you have a really good season, then you had a terrible season, so this could be the tell-all season if Ryan Pace is going to say, hey, we want to keep you or we want to get rid of you, because with the rate we're going, we just keep going two seasons with a coach and then we get a new one. Like, I feel like that's not an effective way to get a team going, because right as they'll get an offense or defense going or like a game plan, it's already gone.
And yeah. I feel like the Bears are right in the middle of their window, so they can't afford to restart over with a new coach. Like, Nagy's their guy, and I think it's just going to be we're stuck with him. So I think he's got to find himself again, because the Bears' window is right now. They don't have two more seasons to waste reestablishing a culture and learning another system. They need to start contending now, because these players aren't getting any younger. Players already need to be paid. This is the time for them to try to compete.
Yeah, well, only time will tell as we see what happens. But this brings us to our Red Zone question of the week. We're doing things a little bit differently this week. Instead of multiple choice, we want you guys, the listeners, to comment your thoughts. So the question of the week, simple as this: which sport would you rather watch, NFL or college football? As we mentioned, it's going to be a little bit different. So comment your guess, or comment, not your guess, oh my goodness, your opinion on what you think is better. We'd love to hear from you guys. When we come back, we got the chance to sit down with one of our news and sports reporters, Carter Getty, to talk about the upcoming Thursday night football game. You're listening to the Red Zone on the Pulse of Rubber Nation, 103.3 WZND.
Some knowledge.
Oh, man.
Not a whole lot. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And are you a Bears or a Packers fan?
I am personally a Bears fan.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
So we should be on the same page, yeah.
This segment about the Packers game is going to be super non-biased, is what
no,
I'm hearing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, something you obviously wanted to bring up is previewing the upcoming Thursday night football game between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. The game is still going to be played, but they revealed that the 49ers closed down their facility due to a positive COVID-19 test, but they're still planning on playing the game as the Packers did fly out to San Francisco to play it. So it's still going on as of now. We are pre-recording this segment on Wednesday night, so a lot could happen between now and then. But as of now, when we're recording it, the game is going on.
And I think that's it. When we've talked about it a bunch on the show, how is the NFL going to be able to cope with COVID and all of the circumstances surrounding that, players getting tested, players actually getting sick. But Carter, you were talking about it right before we came on when we were just all on the Zoom about how this is the first time we've really seen two teams come into the game and the rosters are going to play an impact because both teams have people on the COVID list who aren't going to be able to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is, I think that it was, the NFL is handling this the best that they can. But something like this, I feel like it was inevitable that it was going to happen at some point to a couple teams. And I was saying, this is the first time I think we've seen both teams have isolated incidents that are actually going to make an impact on how the game is played. So I thought that was interesting, as well as both teams are very solid teams. They've been doing well in their selective divisions, but both coming off tough losses last week. The 49ers took one to the Seahawks, and Green Bay took one to a divisional opponent in the Vikings. So I thought that I would highlight that as well in there.
And the Minnesota Vikings, that was an interesting one. It looked like the Packers were going to have that. Just Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams, that connection has just been red hot the past couple weeks. Adams has got 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games. It looked like they were doing really well, but it was Dalvin Cook that got all 4 touchdowns for the Vikings, and the Packers defense really just couldn't find an answer to stop them.
And Carter, coming off of the 49ers game, you talked about how they had a tough loss to the Seahawks, but I think the biggest loss in that game was losing who I consider the best tight end in the game right now, George Kittle. He's going to be out with a broken foot, and so you put that with Debo Samuel, another offensive weapon who's on the COVID list, so he's not going to be playing either. And then Jimmy G obviously has been banged up all year. That really puts the 49ers in a bad spot. But if they were to play a good team and had to choose one, I think they would have chosen the Packers, because last week against the Vikings, it really exposed the Packers and how poor their run defense is.
Yeah, on a personal note, I had George Kittle on my fantasy team. So
My condolences.
Still a little bitter about that one. I also started the year with Christian McCaffrey, too. So
hey, he's coming back, though. This week, he's coming back for you.
I'm going to need big things from him because we've been lacking. But anyway, yeah, no, I feel like these injuries, as well as the things going on with COVID within these organizations, is really going to have a big impact on how this game is played and who is going to end up coming out of this with a victory.
And it's almost in a weird way.
The 49ers have really impressed me.
Oh, go ahead, Leo.
The 49ers have really impressed me with
But I was saying the 49ers, how they've been able to handle injuries all year. George Kittle's missed considerable time this year, as you've already mentioned. In addition, he's been hurt again this week, left and right. They're playing with two undrafted free agents in their backfield. They've just been able to roll with the punches all years when it comes to injuries. So I think, in a weird way, they're a team that's pretty well prepared to handle this, because Kyle Shanahan is just such a good coach at adapting with the talent he has and kind of just having a system that is easy to grasp. And they've just been able to roll all year, where it looked like things could have easily fallen apart for them after that game against the Giants, where everybody went down. But they've been able to hang in there in what might be one of the most competitive divisions in football.
I'm stepping on everybody's toes. This is the bad thing about doing the show over Zoom, is I'm always ready to get up, and then me and Carter are talking at the same time. I'm like, oh, I'll back off. So hey, that's
my
all
bad,
you. Go ahead.
I think they have a very common goal, and it's kind of that next guy up mentality in that organization. The 49ers have just been able to throw people in spots, and those guys have been able to step up and fill those roles.
And Carter, looking at, obviously, like you just said, the 49ers are a huge, and Kyle Shanahan really fosters this mentality of, you know, next guy up, and it's got to be, the team has to win no matter what, even if you're missing so many starters. And turning our eyes to the Packers now, they are kind of in the same situation where Aaron Jones is doubtful for the game, Jamal Williams is COVID listed, and A.J. Dillon is COVID listed. So they are on their fourth string running back. So they're going to have foreseeably no rushing game whatsoever against a pretty good 49ers defense. So how does that next man up mentality kind of translate to what the Packers have going on right now?
I honestly just don't think the Packers are as deep of a team as the 49ers are. I think if the Packers were healthy, they'd be lethal. Like, I think that the Bears are already struggling to be on the top of that NFC North division. But I think if the Packers were fully healthy, they'd be a force to reckon with. But that has not been the case really all year. And it's kind of shown in the fact that they do win the majority of their games, but they have had some really ugly losses to teams that nobody would have really expected to.
And you guys mentioned some of the injuries that kind of have them banged up. But we've seen, even at the start of the season with the wide receivers that they had, Davante Adams, he played the first game or two, and then he got injured, and then he's just been able to make his way back. And then we've seen Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard, they haven't been the key pieces. And then we saw David Bakhtiari, he got hurt as well, arguably one of the key offensive linemen for the Packers. So this is going to be a true test for them as well, and really to see what Rodgers can do.
Bakhtiari has not only been a key offensive lineman for the Packers, but he's been one of the best in the league over his entire career. And that offensive line is really what has been able to let Aaron Rodgers sling the ball like, you know, we're so accustomed to seeing when he beats the Bears on a game-winning Hail Mary or whatever. But I think that this COVID scare for the Packers is going to expose some of their already prevalent weaknesses. I brought it up earlier, but their run defense looked bad against Minnesota, and obviously Dalvin Cook is a generational talent. But that doesn't change the fact that he put up four touchdowns against this Packers team that was supposed to be the cream of the crop when it came to the division, and now they really have some holes. And for what it's worth, the 49ers have not been a bad run team this year, even with all the injuries.
Yeah, and we really just haven't seen that complete package from the Packers. Granted, we've seen people get hot, have a breakout game here and there, but it's never consistently like one certain person. They've kind of just been bits and pieces thrown together this season. And it's worked out so far, but it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually, with all these moving parts, to see if they can come together and have one cohesive team win.
And do you think this, not to like completely pull 180 on the subject, but this is just something I was thinking about, is this game going to change how other coaches look at COVID ineligibility on their roster? Because we've seen it a little bit here and there, obviously, like Corey Davis in Tennessee was out for a little while. We had a couple Falcons, but this is the first time where rosters were going to be very hardly hit or hit very hard. That's the words I was looking for. And I am just curious to see if this is going to change the way the coaches approach missing a bunch of, like, a cluster of guys on their roster.
Yeah, I think this is, like, the test run for it, honestly. It's, like, kind of like the model that coaches might follow. Because, granted, not all every organization has had to deal with COVID restrictions, people getting sick, and whether that's actual players, starters, or just personnel, not everybody's had to deal with it. So I think the first couple teams that have really had to tackle this, I think other teams are definitely paying attention to that and seeing, okay, how would we do this if one of our main starters were to go down, or if we had to fill a spot? Like, we need to be practicing with these guys, make sure they're just as good, just to fill them in those roles as well.
And I think this is where the NFL did a really good job of allowing teams to expand their practice squads. So now they've been able to carry extra players all season that didn't count to their main roster, but that you have practicing the facility, that know the playbook, that kind of have everything down to a pat in case something like this does happen, that you could just put these players on the active roster, plug them right in, rather than bringing in a free agent 10 weeks into the season. I think this could be something that the NFL does long-term, where they allow teams to carry more practice squad players, because I think that gives more players up. Maybe an undrafted free agent, you put them on the practice squad for a year, and then they'll be ready then the next season to be a full-time contributor. I think this could really help long-term development, because the NFL doesn't have any kind of minor league system. So I think the practice squad expanding is – you hate to say anything good came out of COVID, but this could be something – that helps the league moving forward.
And we've seen with some of the restrictions, some of the leagues have done a great job with it. We've seen with the NBA, for example, they've had the bubble and they didn't have any positive tests or little to none of them. Same thing with the NHL when they had the bubble in Canada. I guess it's hard for the, a sport like football, especially it being – with all the teams going on currently, because if you looked at the other two leagues, it was down to the playoffs, so it was about fun, or it was a bit more manageable. But now since there's 32 teams, that's kind of hard to get a bubble going unless you, like, play a bunch of division games for, like, 8 straight weeks. But maybe that might not be the most effective, because you really want to try and see how your team can do against other teams in the league.
And we've touched on it on the show before, but a bubble for the NFL would just not be a plausible thing to do, only because the rosters are so big. When you count the 52-man roster, plus all of the coaches, the coordinators, the athletic trainers, then all the guys that are on the practice squad, you're upwards of 100 people, whereas in the NBA, you've got maybe 20, 25 affiliated with the team who are essential. So I think that the bubble wouldn't have been a reasonable way to go about the NFL season. So what they're doing now is working to an extent. Obviously, you're getting guys who have COVID, and that sucks for their team and for the guys themselves. But the NFL has done a very good job of mitigating the effect that COVID has had on the season. But I feel like it's going to get a little worse before it gets better, only because numbers nationally are going up. So we are entering kind of a risky situation, especially for teams, you know, like the Rams, who for the past like 5 weeks have been going East Coast back to LA, East Coast back to LA, and all of that travel is just putting them at such a higher risk than a normal person.
Yeah, like I said, I felt the NFL was being proactive in what they were doing, and obviously they've been trying to the best of their ability, but it was going to be inevitable that some of these guys were going to get it and it was going to spread pretty quickly. But they're doing a very good job of controlling it. It's just there are 4 or 5 times as many people per organization compared to any other league. So it's just going to be that much more difficult to get in check.
Well, we're just going to have to see what happens as we are going to start week 9 of the NFL season. So just about halfway through, we're going to see. They've, as you mentioned, they've done a good job managing it so far. Let's see if it can happen, if they can try and finish the season. Fingers crossed that the cases either stay the same or kind of go down to keep it manageable. But again, we will see what happens. But Carter, thanks so much for being on the show with us. That will just about do it once again for our coverage here. When we come back, it is the best segment in sports talk radio, the Pick 6. You're listening to The Red Zone on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
Hello, Snap.
Welcome back to the Red Zone here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND. It is almost time for the best segment in sports talk radio, the Pick Six. But before we do that, before we pick those games, we're going to have a chance for you guys to win a game. Winning a Nintendo Switch on WZND. Whoa, this fall is so easy, it's basically cheating. That's right, starting today, WZND's Cheat Code Challenge is here to cure your digital days by giving you a chance to win a Nintendo Switch and other cool prizes. Every day this week, we will be revealing a secret code word on air. Once you hear the secret code word, head to WZND's Twitter or Instagram, at WZND, and send a message to our account with that special word. All participants will be entered into a drawing for a Nintendo Switch and more prizes. The winner of the Nintendo Switch will be announced on Wednesday, November 11th, so be sure to send your cheat code to WZND's social media to enter yourself in the biggest Switch-up of the year. Today's secret code word is Sonic. That is S-O-N-I-C, Sonic. Go to WZND's Twitter or Instagram, at WZND, and message us that code right now to be entered into our drawing. Well, without further ado, fellas, let's get into the Pick Six. A lot shifted in the standings this past week.
And I think we can gloss over it. I don't think they need to know. I don't think they need to know what happened.
Let's take a week off.
Let's take a week off. They don't need to know. And then next week we can come back. Hey, go ahead.
Well, yeah, Leo, still in first place. 31-17. Still the top dog.
Just barely, though. Things are a little too close for comfort for me.
Yeah, and then Steve Cease went from fourth to second place. He went 5-1 this week. He's 30-18. Then I'm in third place, 29-19. Then Joey, fourth place, 28-20. Hey, you're still in it. We're all separated by one game.
It's just tough.
But at least they're not the guests. 25-23, they're in last.
And they're still above 500.
Which is good, because I don't think they've been above 500. I don't think ever since we've been here they've finished above 500.
And I've been slumping, so I got to pick it up here this week.
Alrighty, we'll start off with the Thursday night football game, the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers. I think the Packers are going to be able to rebound after their tough loss to their division rivals, so I think Green Bay is going to win it, given San Francisco's banged up a little bit, but anything could happen with their running game, but Green Bay in a close one.
It kills me to take the Packers, but I need these games. I need these games. I'm down, so I have to go to the Packers just because I think it's the smart choice, especially we just found out Aaron Jones is back for the Packers.
Yep.
Shefty just tweeted out that he is active, so Packers all the way.
This is a tough game because both teams are pretty banged up, but I think we need to take into consideration that the San Francisco 49ers got a shot in the arm with the addition of former first-round pick and Chicago Bear legend Kevin White was promoted to their active roster. He could be the X factor in this game, really having that breakout rookie season we've been waiting for 5 years now. That being said, I'm still going to pick the Packers.
Hey, Mark Trestman ruined Kevin White, and I will stand by that till I die.
It was exciting because we were ready to see Kevin White, and then all of a sudden just kept getting injured. Steve Cease is going with the San Francisco 49ers. Same thing with the guest, Carter Getty. He's going with them as well. The second game, the Chicago Bears and the Tennessee Titans. Joey, I'm going to get redemption. Normally, this would be an easy game for me to pick the Titans, but given the way they've been struggling, you mentioned earlier their defense has been struggling. Heard somewhere they haven't, or according to ESPN, they haven't gotten a sack in over 2 months. I've got Jonnu Smith on my fantasy team. He really should be a postal worker because he ain't delivering on Sundays. So I think the Bears are going to win this one.
I am not convinced, but I have picked the Bears every single week, and that is not going to change because I will ride with the Bears till I die. Chicago Bears will beat the Tennessee Titans.
I'm also going to go with the Bears here. I might sound like a homer here, but I just don't think this team is capable of losing 3 games in a row. I think they are going to have a bounce back because they do have strong leaders in that locker room and a good core that I think will bounce back and get this team hopefully back in some winning ways.
Steve is going with the Titans. Our guest is going with Chicago. So bear down. We'll see what happens, what they do on the road. Next game is going to be a good one. Seattle Seahawks, Buffalo Bills. I've said it multiple times on the show. Keep letting Russ cook, baby. Seattle.
I love the Bills. I love the Bills. I've loved the Bills. The Bills are like my AFC team, right? So, like, when I'm not rooting for the Bears, I love the Bills. However, I think they do have some holes defensively, especially in their front seven. And Seattle's just too good to have holes anywhere. So we're going to have to take the Seahawks.
I'm also going with the Seahawks here. I just think they are a very complete team. Their defense struggled to start the year, but they've kind of refined that in the past couple weeks. And their offense is just capable of hanging a crooked number in so many different ways, whether it be through DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. They got a lot of ways they can score. So I think they're going to expose some of the flaws in the Bills' defense.
Speaking of the Bills, that's who your faculty advisor is taking. He's taking Buffalo, Josh Allen.
Wow. Steve really did not want to be in second for long, huh?
And the guest is taking Seattle as well. Next one. This one's Steve's favorite game. The Detroit Lions against the Minnesota Vikings.
Sheesh.
Yeah, Detroit, they're going to be without Matthew Stafford. I got to go with Skull. They got two ISU guys, Mike Zimmer, Luther Kirk. I mean, maybe give Luther Kirk some time to play. Maybe, I mean, Dalvin Cook, too, he has been nothing but lights out for this offense. So I'm going to Minnesota.
The Lions are on the precipice of being an okay team, but they are not quite there yet. And Minnesota really showed out against the Packers. And it's been a weird season. This one's tough, guys. I'm going to go Minnesota, but I need everybody to know I'm not confident with that.
I'm going with Minnesota here, too, just because I think they have the better quarterback, and I think that's what it's going to come down to in these games between teams that have been ravaged by COVID and by injuries, that I think if you have that steady influence under center, that's what's kind of going to set
you
apart.
Wait, Leo, let's clarify, though. You're saying that Kirk Cousins is better than the Lions' backup, correct?
Which I think their backup's Chase Daniels, so...
So that's what you're saying. You're not saying that Cousins is better than Matt Stafford, right?
No, I'm not saying he's better than Matt Stafford.
Okay,
I'm saying he's better than Chase Daniels. Just by a hair, maybe.
Okay, I was going to say, we were going to have to address that if you thought Kirk Cousins was better than Matt Stafford.
So I'm going with the Vikings.
I was
going
to say, Steve's probably going to be coming down here tomorrow. What's going on?
Steve's marching right down here right now. Oh, my God.
I respect Matt Stafford.
Thank you.
And I believe Marvin Jones, I think they're saying he's poised to try and have a breakout game. The guest is going Minnesota. Steve, guess what?
Going Minnesota?
No, he's going.
Okay, good. Good to know.
He's going Lions. He's riding or dying with them.
It's respectable.
Yep. Next one. This is going to be a good Sunday night football game. It is the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was also a tough one because these are two, without a doubt, future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But just the way Tampa is, their offense has been getting stronger by the week. Rob Gronkowski's got a touchdown in each of his last three games. Marvin Jones really stepping up. And now Antonio Brown might play. So Tampa Bay, think should be able to rebound this one at Raymond James Stadium.
This is another tough one. I'm going to have to go with the Bucs. But two teams that the Bears kind of had their way with. I just wanted to throw that out there. But you've got the two all-time QB leaders going back and forth.
For touchdowns, going back and forth
with each other right now. I think Drew Brees just has a better overall team. So it's going to be close. Another one that's tough, but I have to go with the Bucs.
I'm also going with the Bucs here. I think they've just improved so much since this Week 1 matchup, and it's going to be a little bit of a revenge game for Tom Brady. So I think Tampa Bay is going to have the advantage here.
Our faculty advisor and our guest would beg to defer. They think New Orleans is going to march into Tampa Bay and march out of there with a victory.
I just want to point out that I think this is the fourth game that we have picked different from Steve Cease. And so it might be a tough week for Professor Cease at Prof. Cease on Twitter.
Oh, boy. And we got our final game. It's the Monday night game. It is the New England Patriots against the New York Jets. Now, normally this would be a no-brainer given the Jets struggling and if the Patriots had Tom Brady. But the Patriots, they've got Cam Newton. Their running game might improve this week. So I'm going to say New England.
I want to take the Jets so bad because I don't think they're going to go 0-16.
Oh, no.
And if
Oh boy.
I can't. I'm in
the
fourth.
The gears are turning.
I'm in
Joey's
fourth.
Head.
I'm in Leo. I'm in fourth. So I'm gonna take the Patriots. But just know, if I was 31-17 like you, I would pick the Jets. If I had a game to spare, I would pick the Jets.
I just don't see a world in which Adam Gase can outcoach Bill Belichick. So I'm gonna go with the Patriots here.
Steve is going with the Patriots. The guest making a bold move, thinking the Jets are going to get their first win.
Oh, Carter. Had I known, if he would have given me that reassurance when we talked to him last night, I would have taken him.
Okay.
Alrighty, well, that will just about end it for this week's edition of the Red Zone. Just recapping what we talked about. We began the show talking about college football, recapping everything happening there, especially with the Pac-12 kicking off this week. Maxion was also back. Then we talked about Javon Wims and his suspension with the Chicago Bears and his incident against the New Orleans Saints. Then we brought Carter Getty on. We got a preview with him for the Thursday night football game between the 49ers and the Packers. And then we finished with the bet segment in Sports Talk Radio, the Pick 6. Make sure to go to our social media at WZND Sports to answer our question of the week. And if you missed any part of tonight's show, it'll be online shortly at WZND.com. Well, that once again will about wrap it up. Make sure you go and answer our question of the week, which is, which one would you prefer to watch? For everyone here at WZND, for Joey Dwyer, Leo Stoddher, I am Anthony Ferretti saying so long. You've been listening to The Red Zone on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the Pulse of Redbird Nation.